Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good night, everybody. I know that's probably a reversal term, but I just want to speak to everybody and say hello. This is Prophet C.B. Ward, and I'm coming to you tonight from the online radio broadcast entitled Strategically Prophetic. Well, tonight on the show, we will be talking about the New World Order, Sharia law, the Quran, America, and Christianity. I think there are some things going on in the world today that we need to address. And so we're going to try to address these things, and again, being strategically prophetic, which is the name of the show. We want to discuss some issues that your pastor probably won't or you may not hear over the pulpit. Before we get started, I also want to put out there, if you are listening and you want to call in to make a comment, ask a question, or for prayer, we will stop and pray for you in the middle of the show and continue on. You can call 323-657-1427. Again, if you want to call in with a question or comment, the number is 1-323-657-1427. So don't hesitate to call in, give us a comment, and let us know what you think. Well, I'm going to start out this broadcast tonight with a couple of quotes here, because Christianity is under attack. Christianity has been under attack all across the world and for years. We are one of the only religions that are having people killed every day. And for instance, I can, you know, give you an example of how blatant it is, because even on my Facebook page, I posted a link that one of my pastor associates, he had a link of a Christian in India being stumped and beat down and hit with a bat and all of that. And I posted that to my Facebook page. And when I posted that to my Facebook page, I didn't get any comments on it. But the moment that I posted a comment in reference to the situation on the news where the pastor wanted to burn the Quran, the moment I posted a comment on my YouTube in favor of this pastor's decision, I immediately got negative comments, and go figure, the comments were from Christians. So something is wrong in the Christian psyche, or something is wrong in the church today. Some may beg to differ, but if you are a Christian, this is the time to stand fast for what it is that you are believing in and who it is that you are believing in. The Muslim faith, or the Islamic faith, should I say. The Islamic faith has been here since around the 6th century. The 6th century it has been here. So it's been here for a while, but Judaism has been here a little longer than that. And one of the things about the Islamic faith is that Muhammad, and everybody that knows the history of that, the history of that religion, they would know that Muhammad, when you go back and research the history of the nation of, not the nation of Islam, but the history of the Islamic faith, you'll find, or the Muslimic belief system, you'll find out that Muhammad said that he was visited by the angel Gabriel, and he had a series of visions. Well, at the time that he had the visions, his wife even thought that he was being visited by demons, and that this was a demonic apparition that was visiting him. And he said from these visions is where he got the idea to herald to worship a one God, because at the time they were worshiping many different deities. They were in the polytheism swing of things, and this is where he got the idea to worship one God, and he was persecuted for that, and they had tribalism and all those things going on, and so he kind of separated and kind of changed things a little bit. And so that was his mission. That was one of his purposes. And so, you know, of course, long story short, he's the great prophet. He's the one they look to, and, you know, all of that. But one of the things they got to tell you is that Muhammad looked at the Jewish faith, and he admired, and I see that we have a caller here, and we are going to get to you. He admired the Jewish faith. He admired what they had, and he wanted his faith. He wanted his faith or his religion to have history, to have the same order, to have the same discipline as the Jewish faith had, which caused him to mimic some of the aspects of the Jewish faith, which is why there is such a connection to the Jewish faith. Before we go any further, I want to give you a couple of quotes. This first quote was made by Ignatius of Antioch, bishop, one of the early church fathers. He says, as children of the light of truth, flee from division and false teaching. He said, where the shepherd is, there follow like sheep. Again, that is Bishop Ignatius of Antioch. This next quote is coming from one of the early church fathers, Tertullian. And he says, and I quote, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And again, he says that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And I said that because, see, today there is a new world order. If you are a Christian, you understand that the Bible talks about some things, and the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation a leader who will rule the world. We call him the Antichrist. Well, in the Islamic faith, they have a gentleman who they are looking for, who is supposed to come and rule, and he's supposed to declare jihad on the whole world, and he is supposed to decree, and Jesus is supposed to rule with him, and Jesus is supposed to declare that he was not the Son of God. Because accordingly, if that's something that you did not already know, in that religion, God, their God, they worship as Allah, which is not the same God of the Bible. Their God, they say, has no son. It cannot be the same God of the Bible because, according to our scriptures, God, Yahweh, we call him Yahweh or the Tetragrammaton, YHWH. We call him Yahweh, Jehovah, the Father who art in heaven. He has Jesus Christ, and not only him, now are we the sons of God. Is that not what the scriptures say? So God has many sons. So this same God that they worship is not the same God of the Bible. That is one of the distinctions that need to be made. And the Mahdi, who they are looking for to come and rule and be this one world leader and this savior, does mimic, if we look at the book of Revelations, what the book of Revelations call the Antichrist. Now, I'm going to regress for a minute because a friend of mine contacted me and he told me about, he said, I was on Skype and we were doing a video conference, and he said, you know the Euphrates is drying up. And I said, stop playing. I said, are you serious? He said, no. He said, no, the Euphrates really is drying up. And I said, wow. And then we began to search the scriptures, and he took me to Revelation chapter 16. And if you have a Bible, you turn in your Bible around that area, Revelation chapter 16, you'll find some very, very disturbing things going on in the book of Revelation chapter 16. And the reason why it's disturbing, it's only disturbing because no one is really talking about this, but I'm going to read this to you from the book of Revelation, and it says, verse 12 says, and I'm reading this from the New International Version, and it says, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, here it goes, Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. Now, we know from eschatology, which is the study of end time things, or the doctrine of end times, the teachings about what's going to happen in the latter times when Christ is to come back, or right before he comes back, talking about Bible prophecy, we understand that Gog and Magog is usually understood to be Russia, but that the kings of the east, they were always understood to be who? China. We know that the Euphrates River right now, there are some dams over there, and when you do the research, you will find that beginning in 2009, that the river actually started to dry up, and it is drying up, which means that it causes you to ask the question, are we living right now in the book of Revelation, chapter 16? And if you go to that chapter in your Bible, now, the headline of that chapter in my Bible says the seven bowls of God's wrath. And see, we really need to wake up because we think that angels are just going to fly in the sky and it's going to look like a cartoon and all these things are going to happen. You know, we will miss it because it shocked me. You know, it gripped my spirit and got it to really, it just put a little fear holy fear, reverence in my spirit, because I said, man, are we living in the last times and don't even know it? Are we this close? Who is one of the people who was preaching this? Because everything is coming to a head, an apex, a new world order. You've heard it said about your dollar bill, the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill, the eye of Osiris, or the all-seeing eye, which was a symbol of wisdom, which sits on the top capstone of that pyramid, and that how it symbolizes the Illuminati, one world government. It symbolizes how there are a few at the top who control the rest of the world and everything that is going on. The 5% of doctrine, you know, that says that, you know, 85% of the world has no idea what's going on. 10% have an idea, but there's 5% that uses their knowledge to wield power over the rest of the people. But the New World Order is here. For years, there have been things going on. What is the New World Order? The New World Order is a plan for a one-world government and a one-world monetary system that was started all the way back in Babylon, the Tower of Babel, which is in the book of Genesis. We know Nimrod, and when you go back and do the research, we know Nimrod and his mother, Semiramis, and we know Nimrod was the one who tried to build the Tower of Babel because all the people, they were together, they spoke the same language, and they said, let us build this edifice up to God. I'm paraphrasing, but they wanted to build this unto God. And the scripture said the heavens looked down and said they are all the same language. Anything that they choose or put their mind to or set to do, they will be able to do it, and they confounded the people into different languages where they could not understand each other. And they dispersed and stopped the building of this tower. They dispersed and they stopped the building of this tower. The one world government seeks to restore one language back to the many languages that God has divided up. Now you notice the decree was made from heaven in the book of Genesis to divide up the languages, but Satan wants to reverse the edict of God and make the languages one and unite everybody all under one economic system, one world leader, one world government. Satan wants control. Well, where does the Islamic faith come into this? The Islamic faith has something called Sharia law. And one of the things that's bothering me, or one of the things that I'm recognizing in the spirit realm is as Evangelist Perry Stone has said, and he has so preached this and taught this for years, and he calls it the return of the ancient spirits. He calls it the return of the ancient spirits, and it's well said, because what we are seeing now, it is prophecy. What did Christ say in Matthew chapter 24? He talks about in things. But one of the things that Jesus did tell us, and he told us that just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. The Son of Man being a prepositional phrase or prepositional phraseology, Son of Man, referring to Christ in three different modes. The Son of Man, the word man, Hebrew Adama, which is where we get the word literally earthling, but the Son of Man can mean the Son of the Earth. The Son of Man also speaks of being him being of the lineage of Adam, and the Son of Man also speaks of him prophetically being the prophetic one who was to be born of Adam to redeem the world, to redeem mankind. And so Christ said, just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I did a broadcast maybe about a week ago, and the name of the broadcast was Giants, Demons, and UFOs. If you do some research on the Nephilim, the I am making it plural, we went to, I think, back to the Genesis chapter 6, and we talked about the fallen angels. I'm going to regress here for a minute because I want you to understand what was going on in Noah's day so you can understand why Jesus said what he said and that these would be the signs of the times. Because in Noah's day, the fallen angels, there was a group of angels from heaven who came from the heavenlies, and they came down into the earth realm. Now, they came from the heavens, and they came down into the earth realm, and the scripture said that they mixed with the daughters of men. The resulting progeny, of course, were giants, which resulted in God having to send a judgment on the whole world which was the first baptism, he baptized the world, he cleansed up his giants. Well, according to the Bible, there are angels who are reserved for judgment. We know this because Paul made reference in Corinthians when the people were acting, they were not acting as they should have. They were taking each other to court, and they were doing different things. He said, you are acting, he told them, he said, you are acting like mere men. He said, know ye not that ye shall judge angels. Who is he talking about? What angels shall we judge, being men? Because, see, some people preach that, or some people teach, we're going to keep it on doctrine, because some people teach that man is less than the angels. But that's not scriptures. The scriptures tell us in Hebrews that angels are ministers to those who are heirs to salvation. That means only a son of God can be an heir to salvation. Angels don't need salvation. They're not human. Salvation, or the salvific process, was manifested in the earth, just like genderization. There is no male or female in Christ. Genderization, or the principle of male and female, is a principle that was manifested in the earth realm for procreation. So it's the same thing. Angels do not need salvation because they're not human. So we can understand that then they are servants to those that are heirs of salvation. Then we are the ones who are needing salvation because we are mankind. And so they are servants to us. That's why we decree and we declare the word, and angels hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord as it is spoken through holy men. That's why we preach, we declare, we pray, and we prophesy. We preach, we declare, we pray, and we prophesy. And this is what happened in Genesis. And when Christ said that it would be just like the days of Noah, that's what's happening in the last times. That's why we see a resurgence of an abundance of UFO sightings. UFO simply means an unidentified flying object. The Bible tells us that angels can present themselves as angels of light. The scripture also says that Satan can present himself as angels of light. And we also know that the scriptures also tell us that we also know from scriptures that angels can present themselves and look just like you and me. When Abraham got a visitation from the three angels that came down, and the three angels that visited him, we know that those angels looked like humans. They sat down with him and broke bread with him. We understand also that the book of Hebrews tells us to beware lest we entertain angels unaware, because you will not know unless you're spiritually discerning or strategically prophetic in how you see things whether you are entertaining an angel. So this is why Jesus said what he said. That's what was going on in Noah's day, and today the same thing is going on in the form of UFOs, in the form of all these sightings, in the form of strange lights. And having said that, I want you to go back to the other show that we did about a week ago and get more information on angels so you can understand that. But this is why Jesus said what he said. And when we tie this into Islam, and the book of Revelation ties into Islam with the Mahdi and the Antichrist. And it ties into Christ telling us about the end times and the things that will be going on as signs of the times. And what's going on right now is, see, the Islamic faith, and what's going on right now in America, there's a spirit of witchcraft or intimidation that is being promoted. Because when you literally look at this, first of all, from the get, the Islamic faith is promoting a spirit of intimidation and witchcraft. That spirit is in the United States. And they promote that spirit to try to force people or intimidate people to get them to do what they do. And people are afraid and people are scared of them. And this is why things happen. You notice in the United States, if you were to say that you were burning a Bible, it would not have even made the headlines. But for someone to say they're burning the Quran, the president decided to make that a national issue. Would that have happened if it was any other religious book? No, it would not have. And some would beg to differ with me and say there were other reasons. But when you get down to the spiritual reason, when you get right down to the nitty-gritty of it, or get down to the root of what is going on here, it is nothing more than a spirit of intimidation and witchcraft that seeks to manipulate through fear to get what they want to do. And I'll interject this in there because Christians need to know we were the first martyrs. Christians were the first martyrs. Christians were the first ones to die for their faith. It has been said, I made the quote from Tertullian, that he said, it is the blood of the martyrs that is the seed of the church. We were the ones that were first shedding our blood for what we believed in. And a martyr is not somebody. A martyr is someone whose death proved that what they believed in was true. I'm going to say that one more time so that you can hear that, because some of us are deceived. Some of us have been hoodwinked and duped and deceived because we think witnessing, we call what we call witnessing, the word witness in the Bible is the Greek word martyr. So what we call witnessing in the Christian faith at large is going out and passing you a tract. That is so far from witnessing, and nothing could be further from witnessing. Witness is somebody whose life is a testimony that what they believe in is true and real. So a real witness will be manifested in miracles, signs, and wonders, and through death, and through a life of power, with the power of God living in you, through you, and you're living this thing out where people can see that you are sacrificing, because sacrifice hurts. And what the Islamic faith has done has taken on the similitude of humility and holiness, and the similitude that what they have is real, that they were so willing to die for, when it's really a spirit of delusion and a spirit of mind control that is being promoted through charismatic figures and charismatic leaders and charismatic religious leaders who are being persuaded and influenced and possessed by demonic strongholds and demonic thought patterns, and they're being seduced. And they are taking these doctrines and promoting them to people who have no education. People, we need to understand what's going on here, and it's just like mind control. If you have a charismatic leader who can move and sway the people, and the people have no education, and they don't educate themselves, and they'll be swayed to and fro by every wind, pneuma of doctrine that goes by. And this is what is happening. And people need to take notice to it. The prophets, if you are out there, you are listening to this, you need to be on your knees, and you need to be praying and decreeing and declaring and interceding, because these ancient spirits are trying to come back. They're not trying to, but they're here. And they're not using any new tactics. They're using the same tactics. They're not using anything that is new. Now, let's talk a little bit about Sharia law, because Sharia law is, you have Muslims who are in the United States. And see, this is what people in the United States don't understand. You know, while we talk about religious freedom and it's okay, and you know, it's okay and we tolerate religious, you know what? The United States of America right now is tolerating every religion except Christian doctrine. Because every time a Christian says something, somebody else has something to say about it, and now it seems like Christians are being persecuted and we are being muzzled and muffled because of what we believe. Though our belief system and though the Judeo-Christian belief system, ethical and moral and religious and educational and scientific, has built not only this country, but has been we have been foundational in Europe. So all of those aspects have built the United States, but now they're slowly being torn down because we have radical Muslims coming into the United States trying to promote their faith and their doctrine and trying to pull and tear down what is already built here. We need to understand, you need to understand, that the Constitution is one of the most biblically inclusive documents that is a part of a nation's government as of right now. And it is the enemy's goal to tear it down. And he's going to try to do it through our judicial system, through our Supreme Court that is set up here, our appeals court. So we need to be strategic in our prayers and pray for these judges and pray that God cast down these demonic strongholds and these principalities and these archons and these rulers that are in high places and that he cast them down, because the Bible tells us that we cast down every imagination and every thought that places itself above the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So that is what we are to do. And we need to pray for these Supreme Court justices, pray for our appellate court judges. We need to pray, the courts of appeals, we need to pray for our leaders. And we need to refute and cast down and reject what the devil is trying to do. But you have to be first educated concerning what is going on. And you have to know what's going on by reading your newspapers, by looking at TV, by finding out what is going on and what the enemy is actually doing, so that you can pray effectively. And so what Muslims are doing right now, they're coming into the United States, they're getting education, and they're hiding out. They're sleepers. They're hiding out in our educational institutions, in our businesses, and they are getting money. They're filtering money back through their organizations, through front organizations back overseas. They're looking calm. They're looking quiet here. While things are going on behind the scenes, it is their goal. Let me tell you, it is their goal to slip into the United States and have a presence in Congress and in the Senate. And it is their goal to silently have enough presence here to be able to change the law, because anybody can come to the United States, because the United States is a free system. So anybody can come here, live here, and then claim their right to being stepped on top of and then have the law changed to accommodate them. This is one of the only governments on the face of the planet that you can do that. And they're slowly trying to infiltrate their value system here in the United States. So while they see you and smile in your face and tolerate you behind closed doors, they're still practicing Sharia law. Now let's go into Sharia law. We're going to go into Sharia law. And we're going to talk a little bit about Sharia law, because Sharia law is the system of law. In Arabic, the word means path. But it's a set of rules, regulations. It's a law, and it guides all aspects of the Muslim life. That includes their daily routines, both familial and religious, also familial and religious obligations. It even talks about their financial dealings. And it's coming from the Quran, you see? And see, anybody that has researched this faith, I don't understand how these scholars can call themselves scholars and say that they have researched this faith, but they don't understand that if you are a Jew or a Christian, or if you are any other religion other than Muslim, you are looked upon as an infidel. In the Muslim faith, they don't believe they need an intercessor to get to God. They believe they can go directly to God themselves. Therefore, they would that in itself would repudiate the doctrine of sin, which would have them thinking that they can just go straight to God, that they are in no need of a mediator. On top of that, the Jews are quoted to be in eternal infidels or eternal enemies. Same thing with Christians. And if you go to this episode of Blog Talk Radio, this episode of Strategically Prophetic, I have attached a video. And if you play that video, it is entitled "A Video Every Westerner Should Know," because Muslims look at the West, they look at the United States as the great Shaitan, as the great Satan, as the great Babylon. And looking at us as the great Babylon, they want to fight against us, come against us, but they still want our benefits, they want the money, they want all the opportunities that we can offer them, so they come here to get stronger, so they can come back and fight against the same system that built them up. But the devil is a liar. We need to be wise. We need to be wise unto what the enemy is doing. Christ said to be simple as doves, but to be wise as serpents. This is what we need to do. Sharia law controls every aspect of their lives, including marriage and divorce and their penal codes. Now, I'm going to give you some things that are in their Sharia law. In Islam, not the nation of Islam, in Islam, because the Nation of Islam is different from Islam. Now, in Islam, husbands are allowed to beat their wives, the Quran, Surah 4, Scripture 34. The Islam also allows an injured plaintiff to exact legal revenge, physical eye for an eye. That's the Quran, Surah 5, verse 45. See, this is an eye for an eye. We left an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth in the Bible long time ago. This is Sharia law. It also commands that a male and female thief have a hand cut off. Sharia law also commands that highway robbers should be crucified or mutilated. That's the Quran, Surah 5, verse 33. And as an alternative, the convicted may have a hand and the opposite foot cut off while being banished from the land instead of crucifixion. Mm-hmm. Islam commands that homosexuals be executed. Executed how? By either burning to death, or stoned while against a wall, or stoned and thrown over a cliff. Islam orders unmarried fornicators to be whipped and adulterers to be stoned to death. Now, I'm going to stop right there, because what I find funny about this, the same Sharia law that they claim to be so holy about, these are the same Muslims that are all across Africa killing and raping Christians. There was a story where they raped a baby. They're a male baby. They're raping the Christians. They're killing them, mutilating them, torturing them, beating them down, shooting them in the head, doing all these things, spreading HIV. They're doing all of these things. But their Sharia law is the same law that's condemning them, but they're doing it. Well, some would say, oh, that's not everybody. And I'm not here to put a wage of war against one religion, but I am here to say that anybody that believes the book, you either eat the whole scroll or you don't eat it at all. You can't believe part of it and say that you don't believe the other part of it. If you're going to say that you are a part of this religion, then eat the whole book and get the understanding. Now, I understand the translation of the book as far as New Revelation. Some may believe certain parts. Some may not believe other parts. But for the whole part, the book is clear on its perspective against those that are not Muslim, that are not believers in Allah. Now, the word Allah, let's talk a little bit about the word Allah to show you how much has been taken from the Judeo-Christian perspective or even from the Judaistic perspective, because Christians were grafted onto the tree of the Jews. I believe that's Romans chapter 10. We were grafted on because we came out of the Jewish system. So let's talk a little bit about the word Allah. To talk about the origin of that, let's go back and do a little quick study. We know the Bible. If you know your Bible, the Bible was written, or we derived the Bible from mainly three languages. We derive the Bible from Hebrew, we derive the Bible from Aramaic, and we derive the Bible from Greek. Okay, Greek, of course, we know from Greece during the Hellenization period. During the time that Jesus was in the Gospels, he was speaking and talking, he spoke Aramaic. This is where we get roots of Aramaic from. And then, of course, we know the Hebrew Bible or the Hebrew text, of course. The Old Testament was written, of course, in Hebrew. Now, there is a Greek form of the Old Testament. There is a Greek form of the Old Testament, and there is a Latin version of the Old Testament. I believe the Latin is called the Septuagint. But there are different forms of the scriptures. But those three extant languages, where the Bible comes from. Now, one of the titles for God, and it was a title that was also used in Babylon, the title should not be a title for God more than it is a description. The word El, which means Lord, like Beelzebub, Lord of those who fly, like El Shaddai. He's Lord. He's the all-sufficient one. He's Lord of sufficiency. He's Lord of every need. El Shaddai. El means Lord. So El was literally the name of a deity back in Babylon, but it just literally means Lord. So we use El as a terminology, but when you look it up, you also found that El comes from a root Eloah, and Eloah is a form where the terminology Allah was taken from. So Allah has its derivative from a twist on a Hebrew rooted word. So even the name of their God has a Hebrew twist or on the origin of where it came from. But even they took the concept of monotheism that came from the Jews, the ones they hate so much. So now the name of their God is a derivative. Also, their concept of monotheism has been derived from them. And then they looked at the ancient text of the Jews, and they decided they wanted to get some. This is when Muhammad started to write his text and do what he was doing, because they wanted he needed a consolidated, concise text to transmit down through the generations. So we see that a lot of things were derived from from Judaism. So how was it that they hate Judaism, they hate Jews so bad? Well, when you do the research, you'll find out something called the Crusades. And when you do the research on the Crusades, and you do the research on a whole lot of things, when you do the research on the Muslim faith, you will find out that they had their own crusade of sorts also. There's a lot I could talk about in there, but jihad is the word. Jihad has been described by some to represent an inward spiritual struggle that can be made synonymous for better understanding to what Paul alluded to when he talked about the inward natures fighting against one another. So some describe it as an inward spiritual struggle, but once again, the devil is a liar. Jihad is a declared war on people, a nation, whether you're a group or individual. It's either you convert or you die. This is why they believe the Mahdi will come back and declare jihad on the earth. And to tell you how close we could be for that, the scriptures talk about a rather large army. Now, if you look at all those Muslim countries over there, they can combine and give you a sizable army that could cross over. Now, China has a huge number. You're talking about 200 million people. You're talking about 1,000 or 2 million. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. You're talking about a 2 million man army. That's a huge army. That's a huge army to be fighting. Now, all you would need today is a charismatic Muslim leader to unite the Muslim countries and give them, and they find nuclear warfare. They get possession of some nuclear warheads, and we have a tyrant on our case. Right now, they are the only religious faith who would be bold enough to try to do something like that. They've already let us know what their intentions are, and why world governments are playing with them, I do not know. But as Christians, we need to play. Not play, but we need to pray, because the New World Order is looming, and the Mark of the Beast, all these things are mysteries. Mark of the Beast is more attuned to having the seal of the Word of God in you versus a mark. Because if the Mark of the Beast is a mark or a piece of grain or rice or a piece of a chip the size of a grain that's given to you through immunizations and you don't even know, if it's something like that, then God would not be a just God by allowing everybody to take that and we not know it and could not resist it. That means we didn't take it willfully. But the scripture says he will call all to have the mark in order to be able to buy or sell. So something must happen. Something must happen. And we are living in those times. This religion has promoted throughout the years, and not only has promoted, but has been the source of a lot of frustration, a lot of arguments, a lot of dissension, and a lot of world problems. And now it seems like they're stronger than ever, they're coming more harder than ever, and the world is just sitting back. And we need to pray, because when we pray as Christians, we can quell these demon spirits. We can quell the heavenly. We can decree and declare. We can release angels with apostolic confessions and prophetic confessions. And we can release angels. And we can pray to the Lord that these things be halted and be quelled. But if these things must come to pass, then what should your prayer be? If they must come to pass, then what should the prayer be? God, prepare me, and God, prepare us. We need people to cry loud and spare not, because this is not going away. And as long as the church is in the earth realm, the enemy will not be able to do fully what he wants to do, because it is the Spirit of God that is holding him back, and he won't be able to do it. That's why it's up to you, me, it's up to people to pray. It's up to people to not only just pray, but fast and find out, God, what's really going on in the spirit? What is really going on? Because that's why there's such a stink or such a, that it was such an issue to have any sort of mosque built around ground zero, because historically Muslims build on top of what they have conquered. So to have that built there is just a pure insult. And all the other things going on behind that add insult, adds injury to insult. It should not be built. I don't know what's going through the minds of some people, but what we are going to do as a country, if we're not careful, what we are going to do in a country if we are not careful, is we are going to let other people come into our country and use our own laws to tear our laws down, to remake our laws in their image, and to decree and declare what they want to happen. And it must not be. It cannot be. So we need to be wise. We have to be wise. We need to know what's going on, and we need to watch our news, and we need to be prayerful. And there's proof in this, because Christians are still getting persecuted all over the world, and no one's saying anything. Right now, I'm going to go back to the book of Revelation, because if the Euphrates River is drying up, and if that places us in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, then let's read verse 13. What I read in chapter 12 was that Revelation 16, verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way of the kings of the east. The waters of Euphrates were dried up. I told you that the Euphrates River, if you look it up, started having issues in 2009. So this is happening right now. And that the kings of the east in eschatology, Bible prophecy, is alluded to be or referred to be understood to be China. Verse 13 says, then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon. Now, and then if I'm continuing to say it's out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. He saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs that came out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. 14 says, they are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs. And they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather for them, for battle on the great day of God Almighty. And I want to interject something here. A lot of us read our Bibles, and you know, we are told, and we, you know, people go to seminary, and we are told, and you know, in Bible class, a lot of stuff in Bible study is just not even taught. Our Bible studies today might as well be, you know, Bible studies for some elementary students. But in seminary, you learn about the Bible, They teach you the doctrines, polemics, apologetics. They teach you eschatology. They teach you how to go in, hermeneutics. Teach you all those things. But there are extra-biblical books. These 66 books that are in the Bible are everything that you need or that mankind needs pertaining to the salvific experience, salvation. But to say that this is all that God, who is the eternal, awesome, ubiquitous, great, greater than great, most high, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-sufficient, all-knowing God, to say that this is all that he has said is to show our lack of education and discernment and revelation concerning who he really is. Because God is always speaking. He is always speaking. How do I know that he's always speaking? Because the world and everything that is being held up by the power of his word. And if he stopped to speaking, creation would cease to exist. So what is nothingness? Nothingness is the absence of the word of God. What is death? Absent of the word of God, because there's no life. What is life? Pure energy, motion, pure spirit. God is spirit. Life is spirit. Life is God. But without his word there to vibrate, we know string theory for y'all that want to be deep. If there's no word there, then there is no life there. Because nothing, there's nothing being held up. If it's empty, there's nothing that's sustaining everything. That's how we know God is still speaking and that he's always speaking. And when he first spoke, the word that he first spoke, as a matter of fact, the first word that he spoke is still holding everything else together. For when he spoke, all his words were progressive. I'm going to leave that all the way alone. The scriptures tells us that these spirits will perform miraculous signs and go to the kings of the whole world to gather them for battle on the great day of Almighty God. I believe that this is some place that we are in right now. We are in some times where the Muslims are being used, their faith is being used as it has been historically. These spirits are using these leaders to push. They are anti-Christian, they are anti-Jewish, they are anti-Christian, and they are anti-Semitic. And they are pushing this agenda, and they won't stop until they are ruling. They won't stop until they take over. They won't stop until they have what they want. And so but they don't know that the Holy Spirit of God is holding them back. For who in their right mind would defy the God of the Bible, would defy the Lord of hosts, the Lord Sabaoth? Who would do it? Who in their right mind? For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. These guys are being influenced. So, saints, I am encouraging you. I am exhorting you. Read your scriptures. Be prepared. Because, see, right after the scripture talks about, and they go to get the, these spirits go to gather the kings of the world to do battle. Verse 15 in chapter 16 of Revelation says, behold, this is in red letter. So this is Christ speaking. This is the Logos. He says, behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him. What kind of clothes does he need to keep? When does not the Bible declare in Ephesians around chapter 6? Because the scripture says, blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. What does that mean? That is prophetically referring to the prophetic priestly garments that the priest needed to wear, for he had a girdle, he had to gird up his loins, but it's also prophetically speaking to the whole armor of God. These things cover you and protect you. So he said, blessed is he who is covered and protected. Blessed is he who stays awake, because they are covered and they have the shield of faith, which is blocking every fiery dart of the enemy. And we have the sword of spirit to fight him off. And so that we will not go naked and we will not be shamefully exposed. This is our exhortation
to stay informed, to stay in the spirit, to stay in the Bible, to be educated, informed, to pray constantly, to be vigilant, and to watch out for the true prophets and apostles, because there's going to be a trying, there's going to be sacrifice, there's going to be some things going on, but know that we need to stick close to one another. These are the days you need to find out, do you really believe Christ? Because your life may depend on it, and you might have to lay your life down and say, if I die, let me die in the army of the Lord. This is the time and the day to eat the words that you say so eloquently when you're in a comfortable air-conditioned room and you are singing with perfect music and everything is sounding good. All those words that we say, these are the days that you're going to have to walk that out. You are going to have to live that out. You are going to have to decree and declare and walk by faith. You are going to have to put yourself on the line for Christ and be bold, because if you don't do it, then who will? And what type of world will you be leaving for your children? You are supposed to leave your children an inheritance. What type of spiritual inheritance are you leaving your children? What type of impartation are you leading your children? Because our children, and think about it, if this is where the world is going, then some of our children are going to be some of the greatest prophets and apostles this world has ever seen. And if that is the case, then we have been favored to be able to teach and pour into them. That means that it is a godly mission and divine purpose that we do what God has told us to do in this earth realm and to manifest it, because they are looking at us. And what we do can help sow a seed into the next one who is going to do and complete some works for Christ. These are the days that the enemy will be rising up. Now, I'm going to regress, and I'm going to talk about these extra-biblical books, and I was talking about seminary, but they're extra-biblical books. And when the scripture said that these spirits like frogs, these three evil spirits in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 through 15, and talks about these spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and the false prophet, and that they did many miracles and signs, there is an ancient text called the Sibylline Oracles. There is a group of writings called the Pseudepigrapha. The Pseudepigrapha being false writings. There's a collection of writings that people believe were not written by the title that the book has. So, for instance, if there's a book of, let's say there was an extant book of, Andrew. That is one of Jesus' disciples, but he's not in the Bible. People will say, oh, that wasn't really written by Andrew. So it's a book that has been titled by an author who really didn't write it. Pseudo, meaning false. Grapha, pigra, writings. So that's what they attribute to the name false writings. But these writings contain revelation. There's an ancient text, extra-biblical, called the Sibylline Oracles, and in it it says that towards the end times that the Antichrist will be able to duplicate every miracle of Jesus except for raising the dead, which lets us know that, as we already do know, that Satan does not have the power over death. Only Christ has the power of death, which is why he had to die, because the Bible says that the Father raised him up. He was raised up by the Spirit of God. Christ did not raise himself up, and I'm going to leave that all the way alone. We're going to talk about that in another session called the Trinity. We're going to talk about that, but the scripture is clear that Christ was raised up by the Spirit of God, and that it is the same Spirit that raised him up that lives on you and the inside of you and me. And the scripture calls Christ and Christ is our joint heir, that because we both have the same Father, who is God, who is in heaven. But these texts say that he will be able to duplicate every miracle except for give life. So he has to mimic life. Some believe that the beast in the book of Revelation is connected to an old mythical creature called the golem in the Jewish text, who Jewish people believe that if you make an entity out of clay and you declare the name of God over it, that the name of God will breathe, will take napesh, it will breathe life, and that this statue that you made will become a living being because the name of God was spoken over it. Some believe that this will be a miracle, quote unquote, of life. It won't really be life, because even if it does happen, we know that a demonic spirit will be what is possessing it, or we know there could be an entity, because the Bible lets us know that Satan can present himself as an angel of light. So all these signs and wonders and things that are going on is just the enemy's way for the New World Order to say, you know what, man didn't begin here, we began out there. And Satan is using the Islamic faith to get everything done that he wants to be done. And if you notice, every country that has turmoil, the religion is usually Islamic. Now, right now, you have Islam as our number one problem, and in India, you have Buddhism. So the same kind of extreme religious principles that are in the nation, not the nation, but that are in the religion of Islam, is in some of these other countries. Christians are steady being persecuted. And if a Christian is going to be persecuted, you might as well go to heaven. So this is not the time to be a punk. This is the time you're going to have to stand up for what it is you say you believe in, because they're not afraid to die for their faith. You should not be afraid to die for your faith. Get educated. Read your Bible. Pray consistently. As a matter of fact, you were commanded to pray without ceasing by the apostle. We need to be instant in season and out. You need to preach it and declare it when they want to hear it, and preach it and declare it when they don't want to hear it. For this is your purpose and your calling. The way of a prophet is not a prosperous way. The way of a prophet is not going to be a place of famosity. You are to do what God has called you to do, and it's the same thing with an apostle. You are trailblazers. You are to do what God has told you to do, if don't no one else agree with it. This is what God is doing in the last days. He's placing a John the Baptist mandate on his leaders, on his apostles and prophets. And what does that mean? John the Baptist was in the wilderness where no one was listening to him, or so it seemed. But according to Isaiah chapter 55, just like he was doing, so shall this word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the work whereto I sent it. Now, I'm paraphrasing that scripture. It will come. It will accomplish the work. John the Baptist in the wilderness, alone by himself, eating strange food, just like a lot of the prophets. You're in a strange place. You feel by yourself. You feel lonely, depressed, eating strange food. And it could be strange spiritual food, but you find yourself on a different diet that you're not used to spiritually. Well, that diet has to be fed you because you feel disconnected and lonely and depressed. Well, that different spiritual diet that you're on right now is feeding you for what God is calling you to do. God had to change your diet so you can decree and declare in the wilderness. He got to change your diet to sustain you in your wilderness period so you can be able to preach and decree and declare. Now, what happens in your wilderness stage is as you decree and declare that which people do not want to hear, it saturates the atmosphere and it brought people to where you are. And see, so your period of loneliness, and see, you can look at people and say, man, people are doing this and people are doing that. But you know what? You do what the Lord told you to do. And the scripture says people came to visit John the Baptist in the wilderness where he was. He didn't go to the city. They came to him. Why? Because he so saturated the atmosphere with the word of the Lord that it went and brought people to him. Did not Christ say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me? And so in these last days, this is what God is doing. It is a John the Baptist mandate. Pray like never before. Pray against Islam. Pray against the Muslim nations. Pray against these leaders. Hold back these demonic strongholds. Pray for the United States. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our Supreme Court. Pray for our legal system, because our legal system is what is literally being attacked. Our legal system is what is literally being attacked, and it is what people want to see crumble. And this is one nation under God, and that is the way it will all. This has been Prophet C.D. Ward, and you have been listening to the show Strategically Prophetic. You can go to my ministry website, PCJG Ministries, at www.pcjg-ministries.com. You can leave blog there. You can talk to me there. You can visit there. You can email me there. You can check me out on MySpace, and you can check me out on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. You can leave a blog right here. If you want more information,
Feel free to contact me. Feel free to leave a message. I hope and pray that you got something out of this. I hope that you were charged up about the New World Order, about what Islam is really trying to do, and about what's trying to happen in the United States, and connect that all in with end-time prophecy, the Nephilim UFOs, and what's going on right now. And you can pray and decree and declare that Jesus is still Lord and the Father. He is still God. And that God is still in control. Until next time, keep the faith. This has been Strategically Prophetic with Prophet C.D. Ward.